ABC News.
Dr. Zare Gazarian is a lecturer in politics and international relations at Monash University and joins us now. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Well, what can you tell us about Michael O'Brien?
Well, Michael O'Brien is probably the only choice that the Liberal Party had after suffering such a significant loss. He was, of course, a former senior advisor to Peter Costello when he was Treasurer, and he's always been seen by many Victorians in the Liberal Party as the heir apparent. There's great expectations about what Mr. O'Brien would be able to do with the Victorian Liberal Party, and now he has his chance. There are, of course, some challenges that he confronts. But from the outset, I think we can say that he is a fairly economically conservative but socially progressive Liberal Party member, and that may cause him some problems down the track as he battles with those more socially conservative elements within the Victorian Liberals.
Yeah, so where does he lie in the Liberal broad church? What are his politics?
Well, he is aligned with the Costello forces, which essentially means that he is very much of that mould where he's in favour of socially progressive policies. He tends to be a less hard line on many of the social and moral issues that those Conservatives in the Liberal Party in Victoria have been railing against recently. But having said that, he, as Treasurer and, of course, as having worked for the Federal Treasurer in the past, he's not averse to opening up the economy to competition and very much following in the footsteps of the Howard Costello years when it comes to economic management. So he's a return to a more traditional Liberal leader when we think about former Liberal leaders in Victoria, especially Geoff Kennett and Ted Bailey and Dennis Nadthine.
Dr. Gazarian, Cindy McLeish is just one of three Liberal women elected to the Parliament's lower house. Again, not too many women in Parliament for the Liberals.
No, this is a problem that they simply are unable to deal with. And there were reports from some press this morning that as MPs were coming in, they were upset with the proportion of women in the party room, some arguing that the Labor Party shouldn't have stood candidates against the Liberal Party women, which sort of isn't very logical, but those are the sorts of arguments that are coming out. Ultimately, it's an image problem, it's an organisational problem, but it is an interesting choice that they've made to have Cindy McLeish as the deputy leader. It's a symbolic move. It does signal that the current leadership in the party room now is thinking about how to improve the ranks of women in the Victorian Liberal Party room. This is a good move to do it. And of course, Cindy McLeish, for those in Victoria, has a very low profile. She certainly hasn't been a high-profile member of Parliament. She represents the seat of Eildon, which is a rural provincial seat. So certainly it's going to be a big change for her to come in from a relative low-key background to a very high-profile position.
Oh, certainly. Well, the election was a disastrous loss for the Liberal Party. Do you expect much change on their policy front? And why was it? Were there policies on the nose, was it the Liberal brand?
There are arguments here, and colleagues I've been speaking to are convinced that this was Victoria sending the Federal Liberals a message. I think there's a bit of a mix going on. The Victorian Liberals were fascinated and almost obsessed with law and order during the campaign, and they were also deeply concerned with and constantly talking about issues concerning values, morals and identity. I think that really, when it comes to state voting behaviour, doesn't really feature in people's choices. So it was a very odd approach that they took. And I think what we should expect now is that the Liberal Party in Victoria starts to become more reflective of that broader church idea, which seems to have been lost. It should, by all accounts, start to shift away from issues of identity, values, and morals, and focus more on infrastructure, service delivery, and the economy.
And Michael O'Brien's appointment comes as the voting from the November 24 election continues. How many seats are Labor expected to win?
They are expected to win 55, 56 seats out of the 88-seat chamber, which is a really big win by Labor. The coalition will probably finish around 25 or 26 seats. The Greens had a fairly good result. They maintained their 3 seats in the lower house, which during a close election would have been a great result as they could be in the crossbench. However, they seem to have lost representation in the upper house, coming down from about from 5 seats they had at the last election to just 1 seat possibly at the end of counting. So it seems to be a bit of an empty win for the Greens, who have lost their representation in the upper house.
Well, Dr. Kazarian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Zare Gazarian, a lecturer in politics and international relations at Monash University.
ABC News.